And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, today I'd like to discuss with you something very, very important. And really, it's frightening. It's frightening. I'm frightened by it. And you know, I'm a big old galoot and I don't get scared very often. It's not that I'm scared of something that's going to happen to me. It's just that the world is becoming so death-defyingly evil, so horrible. I mean, evil men have progressed more and more, and I've written about it, and you know, I've tried to explain it, and I didn't want to go to the very depths of satanic fact. And that's what we're talking about, satanic fact. But I didn't want to go to the depths of evil, the very cesspool of evil. I didn't want to explore the dimensions, the realm of pure evil. You know, Paul says in the Bible that there's some things that are so horrible that we should not even discuss them. And I really wonder if this is, today's program is not touching on that. I mean, are we going too far to even discuss it? Well, on the other hand, the Apostle Paul said, for we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. We are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. You know, in the Holy Bible, there's in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, there's the story of Jesus coming upon the country of the Gadarenes. And there he met with a great herd of swine or pigs, hogs, as it were, feeding. And he came also upon two men who had devils in them. Now listen, a lot of people don't believe in devils. They don't believe in demons. But I'm telling you, friends, Jesus believed in them. Jesus cast out devils. He taught his disciples to cast out devils. And you and I can also cast out devils with the help of Jesus Christ. It's not something that you should seek. It's not a talent. It's not a gift that you should say, oh, I want this. Don't seek out something so horrible. But if God gives you this ability, and he can, and he has done so to many, many men and women in past history, and he does so today to cast out devils, then do it. But be very, very careful. I want you to understand that I have come face to face with these devils. And I've heard other true stories of evangelists and pastors and Christians who have encountered devils. And it almost changed their lives. I mean, remember, these devils have been around for many, many years. Read Genesis chapter 6 and you'll see what I mean. Why they actually took wives of the beautiful women, whomever they sought, and attempted to create a whole race of demons and humans. Could that be? Well, read Mark chapter 5 verses 1 through 13. You'll be shocked. These demons knew who Jesus was, and they said, Lord, have you come have you come to destroy us before our time? Now think about that. They recognized Jesus. They had seen Jesus when they were angels in heaven, but now they're dark angels. Now they've been doomed because they rebelled. They were part of the rebellion of Satan. And here comes Jesus Christ in the flesh. And they knew him and recognized him. And they said, Lord, have you come to torment us before our time? You see, Jesus has a time for everything. He chose you as his disciple, if he did choose you, before the foundation of the earth. A lot of people don't understand that. They say, well, Tex, I was only born 20, 30, 40, 60, maybe 80 years ago. I know my mother. I know my father. I wasn't even around. Wait just a minute. Jesus knew you. He knew your father. He knew your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your great-great-great-great-grandfather and mother. He knew what kind of person you were going to turn out to be, whether you were going to serve him or the fallen one, the devil. Oh, he knew. Your fate, your destiny is chosen. You say, well, wait, then I don't have a chance. Oh, yes, you don't know what your destiny is, do you? Unless you choose Jesus Christ, and then you know where you're going. Because he has saved you, and he will keep you in the palm of his hand. But if he has chosen you from the foundation of the world, you're his. I do not fear these devils. I do fear what they can do to other people. I fear them for their evil works. Now Jesus came upon these devils, and they were men, and they were inside men, and these men were insane. They were powerful. They had superpowers. Oh, they were like these super champion heroes, you know. The X-Men and all that on TV, I suppose. I don't know. But they were naked. They wanted to be naked. They were among the tombs, among the dead. And no one could chain them or tie ropes around them because they would break the chains. They were so powerful. And Jesus came upon them. And they cried out. Oh, no, they didn't cry for anybody. They frightened everybody. Nobody wanted to go near these evil men. They knew these men must be demon-possessed. Something was wrong with them. They were evil, and there they were naked and, no doubt, making horrible noises, tearing apart their chains. Don't try to make these men prisoners. They refused. But Jesus saw them when they cried out, please don't torment us. The very sight of Jesus brought up memories of his power, his might, his majesty. And they cried out, please, why have you come to torment us before our time? They knew their time was short. They knew. But they said, we have more time, don't we? And Jesus said to them, what is your name? And they said, our name is Legion, for we are many. There are many demons in these men. Many demons. You can be possessed by more than one demon. Your wife, your husband, these psychopaths, they're possessed, no doubt, and by more than one demon. I don't know how much space a demon takes up, but they can, 5, 6, 7 can possess a man. But these said, we are legion. There are many. And they said, they saw the herd of swine feeding. It says, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that's into the hogs, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. He let them leave. They didn't want Jesus to torment them. They were afraid he was going to torment them and torture them, basically. So they said, well, let us just go into those pigs. We'd prefer to live inside those pigs than to be destroyed by you. Now, I want to just explain something to you. If you ever were demon possessed, you probably know you were. And you were freed by Jesus Christ. Let me tell you that the demons, they don't want to mess with somebody who's possessed by Jesus, because the demons cannot live in a man who's owned by Jesus. They prefer to live in the pigs than to live in a man owned by Jesus. This is the power you've got, my friends. Not your power. No, not your might, but Jesus Christ's. This is the victory that God has given you. You have victory over the devils. I see all these movies where the demons, you know, the people try to stop them with crosses and all that, and it doesn't work, and the demons win. Oh, baloney. The demons are too weak. Oh, they can conquer the men. They can conquer men and women, no problem, unless the man and woman has Jesus, and then they can do nothing. Nothing. Because Jesus owns them too. He controls them. In this case, Jesus gave them their leave. He let them go into the pigs. And it is recorded in Mark, and the unclean spirits, that's what they were unclean spirits, devils, went out and entered into the swine. And the Bible says what happened next is astonishing. It's remarkable. The swine went insane, and they went all lockstep, one after another. And there was a great mountain there, or steep cliff, and they went over the cliff into the waters below and perished. They perished. Now, I want to talk about this today. You see, demons can live in pigs. They can live in animals. Now, it's an amazing thing that science is doing today. I was recently reading an article. In fact, I've got it right here in front of me from the BBC. It was in a number of reports in the American press. You can read it for yourself and go Google it up. The article is entitled, "The Birth of Half-Human, Half-Animal Chimeras." That's Chimeras. The birth of half-human, half-animal chimeras. And it says here that scientists are now working with genetic engineering, and they're able, they say, to create animals with human organs, or animals that are half and half. And I also have another article here from the Washington Times that says the government has lifted the moratorium on cross-species chimera research. Lifted the moratorium on funding. The government's going to fund it. The government is going to fund research on the creation of half-human, half-animal chimeras. They call them chimeras. Now, this doesn't say pigs. It could be anything. Half elephant. Half dog. I was watching a sort of an interesting, stupid movie the other month. It was about 3 months ago. It was called Mars. About these, alien beings that came from the planet Mars to conquer Earth. It was sort of funny, but in one case they were experimenting, and they were able to take a human head and put it on a dog's body. I think Pierce Brosnan and somebody else played the part there. And there was a little dog with a human head on it. And of course people said, well, they can't do that, but wait just a minute. This article, the BBC and the Washington Times article, says yes, they can. And scientists have been working on this for a long time now. I then was reminded of the terrific book we offered here in the ministry by Michael Hoffman. Michael Hoffman. It's entitled Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare. Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare. And Mr. Hoffman, in this outstanding book, and we've been offering it from the ministry, we're going to offer it today to you for $18. It's over 200 pages. He talks about, on page 11, I think it begins in 11, he talks about chimeras. And he says that science is building these, or making these chimeras. And they've been working first on hogs and pigs and humans. Now, he quotes an article, and I believe it's dated, April the 3rd, 2001. And this was from a PBS television network broadcast, part of a Frontline documentary titled Organ Farming. It depicts a number of scientists, he called them like scientist gods, and high priests who have access to the medical inner sanctum. And they're trafficking in genetically engineered part human pigs. Now, they genetically engineer these pigs so that they will grow in their bodies human organs. Do you need a heart? Do you need a new heart, friend? Well, they can grow it in a pig. Then they take the head out of the pig and put it in you. Do you need a new arm? Did you get your arm torn off by some infernal machine or in some automobile accident? Well, they can give you a new arm. Maybe they build this arm through genetic engineering onto a pig. It says billions of dollars in profit are at stake for the corporations who own the patents on what are called transgenic human swine. Human swine? He calls them monstrosities, Michael Hoffman, and he says it's part of the last days movement of the devil. Now, Mr. Hoffman is extremely intelligent. You probably got some of his other books from our ministry here. You know how smart he is. He wrote a whole book, over 1,000 pages, exposing the Jewish Talmud. But he says here that this is a horrible thing these men are doing, these scientists are doing. And it's not going to end well, he says. It's not going to end with utopia. It's going to end with the dystopia, meaning the opposite of utopia. And today, I'm a little bit late in telling you the title of today's program, but let me just give you what I think should be the title of today's program. I call today's program Chimeras, Monsters, Pizzagate, and the Satanic Hoodwink of America and the World. Now, how can I get all those things together? Chimeras, Monsters, Pizzagate, and the Satanic Hoodwink of America and the World. First of all, I've talked to you about chimeras today. Now, I was recently reading a newspaper article, and it was quoting Abe Fox. Isn't that his name, Fox or Foxworth, whatever? I'm sorry. Abraham Fox, Foxman, I think, who recently retired as head of the Jewish ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. I was reading this article, and you know I've been very interested in DNA research and genetic engineering, and I've written a book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. And you know, I've been really bothered because I knew that scientists from Israel have been working with American scientists to develop a new kind of human being. Now, you may not understand this, folks, but I wrote about this in a book called Mega Forces. It was also titled Rush to Armageddon. Mega Forces. And I said in Mega Forces that scientists were working on this chimera situation to develop part animals, part humans. And they were working to develop superhumans. Superhumans. You know, like soldiers. But soldiers that are super soldiers. Soldiers that are able to fight on and on for days on end. They don't need rest. They don't need sleep. And they're powerful. They're like robots. They're like the Terminator. But they're supposedly human beings. But they have biological parts that are not quite human. And they're developing all kind of pharmacies, pharmaceuticals and drugs and all kind, and they're actually melding robots and people together. Now, I did an audio tape, a CD on this. It's still available here in the ministry. You can ask for it. About these half robot, half human beings. And then I was so concerned about this, I wrote an entire book just a couple of years ago entitled Robot Alchemy. Why alchemy? Because alchemy is magic. And they're doing something strange with robots. They're making robots like people, but not exactly like people. Half, maybe, let's just call them half human, half robot, or partial robot, a bionic human being. Let's just call it a bionic human. And I recently read articles from Japan and other countries that talk about human beings having sex with robots. And for the life of me, I couldn't quite figure it out, but I finally got the message that there are evidently many men who think that a robot can be superior to women because you can tell a robot everything to do. And they're making robots now, or they will be very soon, that are up to par. In other words, they're going to reach what they call singularity. They're going to be as effective as a human. So you cannot even tell the difference, hardly. And they're going to give them fleshly, a feel like flesh. So you see a woman come up to you, or a man, and they begin to talk with you and converse, and you don't even know that they're a robot. And of course, there are certain people that would prefer robots, I suppose, to women or men, because they can tell them what to do, and you know, they will just do it compliantly, and I don't know. Or maybe they're beautiful, and you pay $20,000, you have your own robot. Okay. All right. Of course, they're also going to be slaves, aren't they? And you know, a robot doesn't mind being a slave. It doesn't really have a brain exactly, or it might have a superior brain, but a different kind of brain that doesn't think in terms that we do about slaves. It doesn't think it's a slave. It'll do all the work you want it to. It will never go to sleep. It will work 24/7 and think that it's just fine. It'll work in a factory. It'll work in a hamburger shop. It'll work anywhere. It'll dig ditches. It'll do anything. It'll be your lover. It'll be your homemade. It'll work in the kitchen. It'll work in a hospital bay. It doesn't really matter to the robot, does it? Or does it? That's the question. And then I did an audio tape, a CD report, entitled, Are Robots Alive? Well, what if you give them a brain and they can think? What if they have a thought? Well, I'm a robot. I'm only a robot. I'm abused. I want my rights as a robot. Will they rebel? Will they cause a rebellion? Are movies like The Terminator and others true? Could that happen? Well, so we have a sort of a cross now between this bioengineering, this genetic engineering, this DNA science, where they're developing half critters and half human beings. Not really half. It can be any kind. It can be 5%, 10%, 40%, or 80%. It doesn't matter. And I wondered, what if a robot can be made to be alive, can it have a soul? Ah, yes. There's the rub. Will these chimeras have souls? Or will they be beasts? Will they be beasts? Will they not have a soul? Will they look a little bit like a human being, but a little bit like some animal, like a rhino or a gorilla, but be half human and look, and you won't, will they have a soul? Some people believe that dogs and can't sell souls. They'll go to heaven. Well, I did a report on that one time. You see, you've got to think ahead, my friends, because these scientists are working on these things. But I was reading of Abe Foxman, and there he was, and he was talking about how a Jewish science was working on DNA. Now listen to this. They were trying to fix the human beings so that human beings would not be anti-Semitic. And then I was reading of another scientist, a Jewish scientist, who said, we can create the human being who doesn't even think about being anti-Semitic, who will love Jews. His brain will be engineered. He will be born with a love for Jews. That's our goal. That frightened me. It frightened me because, you see, I saw what was in that. This was a desire by these scientists to create human beings who would worship them unthinkingly, unquestionably, slave-like. They wouldn't be human beings anymore. You see, if God chooses you because of your willing to obey Him, what if you're made to obey? What if they create a brain in you from birth, and you're are you not a slave? No, you won't be a slave. You say, because I'll think good. You see, they're going to develop. They say these scientists are going to develop superhumans who always think pure thoughts, who are loving and good and kind, and there won't be any more murders in the world. There won't be any more deaths in the world. And everybody will love everybody. And we'll have a new world order based on love and harmony and peace, because everybody will be made to be love. And I thought, if a man has no ability to choose for himself, is he really a man? Is he not a devil from the beginning? Because he chooses, because he cannot choose, because he has a brain that's pre-engineered, bio-engineered, genetically engineered, is he not a hideous creature? Oh, but we will create humans that are beautiful, that are lovely, that look like movie stars. Oh, there will be no ugly people in the world. We will have only beautiful people. And we will have only people who think good thoughts, who don't think about being selfish. In fact, there's one book entitled The Selfish Gene. And this scientist says, if we can get rid of the selfish gene, then we can create a utopia. We can create a world of our own. A world without God, without the devil. A world of great and marvelous people. Can we do that, friends? Think about these things. Can we create a human being who's not a human being? And I thought, Foxman has a terrible idea. These scientists are thinking terrible thoughts. They're trying to defy God because they want to make men into little gods. And I believe they're making a mistake. We're going to talk more about chimeras, monsters. We're going to get to Pizzagate. We will. And all of this is creating the satanic hoodwink of America and the world. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. This is Tex Mars. You know this book, Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare by Michael Hoffman? It's a great book. I love this book, and I've told Michael personally that it's one of my favorite books. You know, it talks about a little bit of everything, From the JFK assassination to the Apollo moon flight, Jack the Ripper, the pyramids of Sirius. I mean, it talks about demonic invasions. I mean, this book talks about Masonic magic. Now, you may not know what Masonic magic is. Well, Michael Hoffman will tell you about it. He will. He there's a lot of things in here. And you know, this book deals with the mind. Now, I must tell you, I had to read it about three times because it's so deep and it's so incredible. And he tells you, I don't even know how to explain it to you, but you have to read it for yourself. And you're going to read it, and it's more enjoyable the second and third time. And I loved it the first time. But I'll tell you, it really reveals what the elite are doing. Now, it's only the upper elite. Now, I'm sorry, the George W. Bushes, they're so dumb, they just can't figure out, you know, how to sweep their back porch. But, you know, there's some in the elite. There's some of these people that are very, very intelligent. They're doing bad, bad things. And they've got a plot. They've got everything wired up. And they're calmly going about their devil business. And this book will reveal it to you. One of the few books I've ever seen on this subject. I want you to have this book. It's just $18. It's over 200 pages. $18. Please add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $23. It is entitled Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare. Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare. Here's how to get it. Go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or write to us here at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's Power of Prophecy, or send it to Tex Mars. That's me, Tex Mars. 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Our phone number, of course, you can call us during the week, toll free, 1-800-234-9673. And we'd love to hear from you. We'll be glad to give you a free subscription to our newsletter. If you call us and order this book, we'll give you, at least 6 months. You'll get Power of Prophecy in your mail box every month. Power of Prophecy newsletter. And some people tell me it's the most interesting newsletter. They just can't wait to get it. And you know what? I can't wait to write it. People say, do you write every word? Yes, I do. I write everything in here. I write the articles. I just write everything. I write all the ad copy, all the descriptions of various things. I love doing that. You know, I want to tell you what this program is or what this book's all about. And I can't do that by having somebody else write these things. So I write everything. I write the description of my, radio programs too. And, I've got very talented people here. They could do it, but I just enjoy it. I hope you don't mind that if I do that. I hope you don't mind if I write everything myself. You know, some people ask me, I was at a big book show one time. And, I guess I could tell you he's passed away now. I believe he is. The guy that wrote all the Left Behind books. What's his name? Tim LaHaye. Yeah, he met me down the hall of the big Christian book show. I think it was in Atlanta, Georgia, and shook my hand, and we chatted for a little while. And he said, I'm going to start writing some books that are fictional. And that's when he started writing the Left Behind series. He said, who writes your books for you? Because I need a good writer to work with me. And I laughed at him. I said, who writes my books for me? He said, yes. You don't write your own books, do you? I said, well, yes, I write every word. And he looked at me. He was astonished. I said, don't you write your books? No, I have ghostwriters. Well, that's pretty nice. Have a ghostwriter write your book. I've since found out that most best-selling Christian books and most best-selling secular books are written by other people than the person's name who's on the book cover. Well, I tell you, this is a bad, bad world. Very deceptive. But I told him, no, I don't have anybody to recommend to you. Because, you know, I write my own books. I write every word. So if my books are not good, well, you could blame me. But if you like them, then blame me for that too, okay? So it all depends on whether you like the books or not. You know, I found that if I just write the truth, it seems like my books come out okay. Yeah, my books come out okay. And I remember one of my first best-selling Christian books. I wrote it for a publishing house named, what's that publishing house? Crossway. Yeah, Crossway, thank you, from Westchester, Illinois. I wrote the book, and I sent it off, typed it up and everything. And the editor-in-chief, he wrote me back, and he had the book. He sent back to me and said, we've edited it, and here it is for your approval. And I looked at it. They had all kind of things lying through this page, that page. They'd changed about half my book, their editor. So I called him up, and I said, listen, Jan. His name was Jan Dennis, nice guy. I said, if you want to write your own book, then write your own book, but don't try to rewrite mine. He says, well, your book is just not written that well. And we had to get these writers to change all this stuff in it and everything. And I says, well, I like the way my book wrote. I liked it exactly. So he got a little upset at me. He's okay. If that's what you want, we'll send your book to the press. But I'm telling you right now, your book will not sell because it's all gobbledygook. I says, well, I like my books the way they're written. You know, that's why I write them. I don't need editors. He thought I was so unreasonable. And so he sent my book off. He went ahead and sent it to the press exactly the way I had sent it to him. And it turned out to be a landmark number one international best-selling book. And he never questioned me again on the book. Oh, well, that's the way it goes. You know, God takes care of things, doesn't he? Now, maybe my book was written bad. I don't know. He's the editor-in-chief. He should know things. But if it was written bad, why was it a number one bestseller? Maybe God did that. Maybe God went into people's minds. Ah, yes. God is stronger than you think, my friends. If you need help, you know who to call on. You know who to call on. G-O-D. God. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about chimeras. We're talking about monsters. Pizzagate and the satanic hoodwink of America and the world. Because that's what they're doing. With these chimeras, they're hoodwinking you. They're making you think this is necessary. And these robots that can do all these things and become literally the same as human beings and become alive, they need these things. I mean, friends, we got 95 million people in America unemployed, but they need robots to do all this work. Give me a break, friends. Now, Pizzagate. How did I get into Pizzagate and this stuff? Let me explain something. Pizzagate is an expose of these pizza parlors. That's what they are, pizza parlors. The chief one, in fact, chief several of them being in Washington, D.C. area. And these rich men's mansions throughout the United States and the world that are molesting little boys and girls. They are. Now, this all came out during this exercise by the FBI in which they reviewed the emails of John Podesta. Who is John Podesta? The campaign manager for Hillary Rodham Clinton. It turns out that Podesta is quite a crank. He's a nut. He's evidently some kind of a sexual freak. And he loves artwork. Artwork about little kids. Being in bondage. Being tied up. You know, in my newest newsletter, January newsletter, I have an article, The Greatest Satanic Scandal of All Time, Pizzagate, and there's a picture of a little boy. That is a real picture. A real picture. Where did that come from? It's a little boy, a nude little boy with his hands tied up, and he's imprisoned on a wall, and he's got a pizza hiding his private parts, and it says Pizzagate. And this is the pizza parlor of a man named Alafantes, James Alafantes in Washington, D.C. He owns a pizza parlor named the Comet Ping Pong, because he has ping pong tables there. And they have a basement down below where it's reputed that they do dirty, evil things. But of course, Alafante says they don't. And it turns out that John Podesta and his brother Tony love to go to this place and have pizzas. But then it turns out that the FBI has a little code book. When they go study online homosexuals and pedophiles, they find these men use code words to each other. They call a little boy a piece of pizza. And they call the semen and the blood, and I'm sorry to even say this, they call it sauce. And they write letters to each other. Wasn't the pizza good last night? Didn't you enjoy the sauce? Oh my. The FBI knows what they're saying. These are code messages. And it turns out that Podesta, the campaign manager for Hillary, had all kinds of pizza letters. He's a real pizza fan, if you know what I mean. Now, Alafantes, I wonder if that's his real name. You know, they have a man, the history books show that a man named Pierre Lafont, L apostrophe E-N-F-A-N-T-E, a Frenchman, was the architect for the city of Washington, D.C. He worked for Thomas Jefferson, but Lafont had to be fired because of various reasons. We're told in history, I think, strange things. But Lafont, the child, that's his name, the child. It turns out that James Alafantes, he also, that last name, Alafantes, is the child. Are they relaying, is that his real name, or are they telling us something? Is he a child molester? Is he a pervert? He says he's not. He went on the Megyn Kelly show on Fox News and said, I'm not a pervert. These are lies about me. Still, I wonder. Now, WikiLeaks released all of these emails by Podesta. And I have on my website, I put the most meek, the most tame. And you should see them. Little boys and girls kept in bondage. Their hands tied together or fastened with some kind of adhesive. This is the kind of bondage, these kind of photos that get people arrested for passing child pornography around. I took the mildest, the ones that were not so, that were so evil. I could not bear to show them to you. And then I found out that Podesta, his whole house is decorated with art that I can only call child pornography or hideous art. And the Podesta, his brother, Tony Podesta, his wife and he are fans of strange art about cameras and children. And I got copies of this art. And I saw this art, and they're monsters. They're monsters. Chimeras. They're artificial DNA engineered monsters. But they love children. And they're what they are, demons. They're not chimeras. They're not making animals. These are devils. And I realized, you know, it's time for Satan to come. And he's developed these chimeras. He's having scientists develop these chimeras. And they're doing these pizza gates. And you know, the pizza gate, and they're having the Hollywood set. And you know, you get Miley Cyrus and check her out. And she talks about pizza. I love pizza. And she does all these these videos that have her with pizza slices. And then you have Katy Perry, another big star of Hollywood fame. And there's Katy Perry talking about pizza in songs. Are they talking about little boys and girls molesting them? Perverted sex? Surely they cannot be. Surely. I give them credit for not, for speaking of this. But why are they doing these things? Why are they emphasizing this pizza? And you have to go, if you can get a hold of a computer, go and look up Pizzagate and look at the YouTube videos. They're not going to be there long. Because Google and Facebook and these other agencies are getting rid of them. Because they've been exposed. And Anthony Weiner, it turned out that the thousands of emails that he and Huma Abedin, the lesbian lover of Hillary, she had all these thousands of emails, and they talk about pizza too. They're a bunch of pizza freaks. Or are they? Or is this code words? And they're hoodwinking all of us. They're saying, we can get away. We can get away with perverting these little kids. What about these little kids? It makes me want to cry. It makes me want to get angry at anyone who would defile these little kids, who would be involved in Pizzagate. And this artwork that these people have, that John Podesta, the campaign manager, the artwork, and he invited all of the press over to his house in Washington, D.C. area. And they had all this artwork, and they had a headless man, and they had the artwork that appeared to be the same kind of art that's a serial killer. And what was his name? I don't know. The guy that killed all those people, I think it was in Chicago or wherever, and cut off their heads and put it in his refrigerator. All that. That's the kind of, these people are cannibals. And then they have this spirit, the spook, the spirit spooking, they call it. They have these parties where they have this witch come, and she has blood and semen, and she mixes it, and they have these horns, and they have Baphomet, and they actually create Baphomet, the horn devil, and it's true. And now I believe they have chimeras. They've made them into monsters. And they're perverting all of society. Robots are not evil. Robots are fun sometimes. Robots can be useful. Robots are okay, but you can make robots into monsters. Look at the movie Terminator. Look at that movie. Now, I don't know about all the other movies that followed it. I understand there was Eraser and all kinds of movies based on robots that look like human beings but were horrible creatures. They're hoodwinking us. That's a Masonic name for it. They're hoodwinking us. They wink at each other. They're fooling us. They're deceiving us. And I want you to understand something. WikiLeaks is done by Julian Assange, and I understand that. I don't know where he gets all his information from, but he's done us all a good deed. I wish that our president, when he's becomes president, president-elect Donald Trump, would give the guy his freedom. You know, pardon him. He was falsely accused of rape or something like that with his girlfriend of many months, which is all a big scam. They're trying to shut the guy up. WikiLeaks put out 50,000 emails by Podesta and others. But these emails are all kept tied up by the FBI, by the intelligence services. I appeal to President Donald Trump to release these emails when he gets to be president and he has control of the intelligence agencies, and to appoint a special prosecutor and bring Hillary and Huma Abedin and Mr. Weiner, the former congressman, the pervert, who's wanted right now by the FBI and by others for having phone sex with a young a juvenile girl. But most of all, I want to warn you about the work of these Jewish scientists. Oh, they're going to develop new people. New people. DNA proof people. Great people that love Jews. You know, maybe you'll become a victim someday. Maybe they'll give you some kind of, you know, they're also creating machinery now, computers that can read the human mind. You say, well, that's impossible. Oh yeah. Yes, they do. They can read what you're thinking. And sometime in the near future, if they find out that you're thinking bad thoughts that they don't approve, well, they can give you an operation. They can put a chip, just a little bitty item, about as big as a grain of sand. They can put that chip in your brain. And you know what? From then on, you'll think good thoughts. You'll think exactly what Big Brother wants you to think. They don't have to torture you. They don't have to beat you into submission. They don't have to do you like the man was done in the dreadful book 1984 by Orwell. They just say, show up for your appointment at the hospital on a certain day. We'll take care of you. You'll think straight. You'll think correct. You'll think positive. You'll never again hate Big Brother. You'll love Big Brother. We're coming to that time. We're at the very precipice of it. And people are anxious for it. People want a new society. And they want it to be of good people. And you know, in a way, I want a new society too. I'm writing a book now on psychopaths. And you know, psychopaths really, really bother me. Because psychopaths are almost another species. Say, how is that, Tex? Let me explain to you. Psychopaths don't think like you and I do. They have no feelings. They have no empathy. They hurt people. They kill people sometimes, but they don't feel sorry for them. And even when they're tried, put on trial, and their victims' families get up and say, you have done this to my daughter or my brother or my sister. You're a monster. You have taken away the person that we love. Inside, they're laughing. They're scorning. Of course they took away your loved one. Of course they did. That's what they do. And they have no feelings about it. They love to hurt. They're born like devils. These psychopaths look like you and me, but believe me, they're not as you and I. That's what's so frightening about a psychopath. He can appear to be loving and charming, but he doesn't care about you. And he can be bisexual. He can be one day have sex with a woman, the next day sex with a man. Because he doesn't have real feelings. He doesn't have a soul. The psychopath doesn't have a soul. You know, I wanted first to name this book Soulless. Soulless, without a soul. And I thought maybe people won't understand. Because people, you see, you think that everybody can be rehabilitated. So when a psychopath who murders somebody is sent away to prison, you say, well, he'll spend so many years in prison and they'll rehabilitate him. If we give him a psychiatrist and he sees this psychiatrist for so many sessions, he'll be okay. And then we can let him out into good society. And he won't do it again. We'll rehabilitate him. No. No, no. The psychopath will do it again and again and again. Because that's what he is.
He is not a human being. In a way, he's a chimera. He's part human being. He looks like a human being. He talks like one, but he acts like a beast, like a devil. He is full of the devil. And those who killed Jesus Christ, who sent him to the cross, I believe they were psychopaths. How otherwise could they have done such horrible damage to mankind by killing the King of Destiny? How could they have hurt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And you, if you're a Christian, you know, you look in the mirror in the morning and you know that you couldn't hurt a little child. Pizzagate makes you sick too. It disgusts you. And satanic hoodwink bothers you. And these chimeras and monsters and the way the world is becoming troubles you. Why does it trouble you? Because you're a human being. Because your soul has Jesus Christ inside it. People say, why should I become a Christian? Because you want Jesus in your soul. Paul said, Jesus Christ within you, the hope of glory. He's within you. That's why you think different. You think different than this world. That's why my wife, she thinks different. She's a sweetheart. She's a lovely woman. Why? Because she thinks different. They haven't put a chip in her. She doesn't have the DNA that makes her love everybody. No, she automatically loves everybody. And if you are a Christian, you are love. John says in the Bible, God is love. And if you love your fellow man, you have God. And God within is the most powerful being on earth. Remember those devils in the Gadarenes? Remember they went into those pigs? Jesus gave them leave and they went into the pigs. Oh, he's so more powerful than they are. Oh, he is. If he is in you, think about the power to do good. Think about the power to dispel evil. To tell the devil, go to blazes. You will not have any part of me or my family or the ones I love. You have that power, my friends. You have the power to look in the mirror every morning and smile and say, it's a new day. It's a wonderful day. I have Jesus Christ inside. I have the King of Glory. I love everyone. Now, it's very hard to do that because there's so many devilish people. And let's face it, it seems that about half of society is evil. And certainly the liberals are, they call them libtards now. They just want to do dirt. They just want to bring up dirt. They want to hurt people. They want to lie. They want to cheat. They want to steal. But we don't have to be like them. Love them too. Forgive them. But watch, watch them very carefully. Because they can do damage. Many of them are psychopaths. Watch out for them. But be good. Do good. Have Jesus Christ inside. I promise you, he will make all the difference in the world. And you will be eternally happy. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. It's been great to be with you. Please tune in next week and discover the power of prophecy.